Acts chapter 26. We're going to begin reading in verse 19 here in a moment. When I was a boy, we had some family friends, and the man in the family was unsaved, and my dad and a few other friends were talking to him one day about Jesus, and he said, "I was wondering how long it was going to take y'all to talk to me about Jesus," you know. But he wasn't saved that day. Matter of fact, decades passed, and I recently heard that he had come to faith in Christ, and it really warmed my heart to know that. Did you know that sometimes God has a work of progress? And I've heard somewhere that the average person hears the gospel 8 times before they come to faith in Christ. But it is true. The Bible says some plant, others water, but God gives the increase. And so sometimes we may not have the warm, fuzzy feeling of seeing somebody come to faith in Christ every time we share. Matter of fact, you may even have some difficulty with it. You might have somebody respond in a way that bothers you, or perhaps even that offends you. You might have somebody be filled with opposition. But even in these things, Jesus said, "Rejoice when men revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake, for great is your reward in heaven." So we know we're rewarded in heaven, but we also know that we have an unseen partner with us who can work on someone's heart even when they're not initially open to the gospel. And as we look at this scripture today, Paul is giving his defense before King Agrippa, and Festus is there as well, and along with a group of others who have come to observe. And he has given a defense. He's talked about his conversion, and we're going to pick up in the text here in just a moment where he says, "I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, and I went and I did as God told me to do." And then he's going to shift, and he's going to begin to address them very specifically and very personally. And he is going for the witness. He's going to share the gospel with these two men and those who are around them. And Paul doesn't get the experience maybe that you would like to get or that I would like to get when we talk to somebody about Jesus. As a matter of fact, he has a few varied experiences, which I've had at different times in my life as I've shared Christ. But he responds by continuing to share and continuing to appeal to people about Jesus. Now, there may be times where we need to drop a conversation as the Spirit leads us, so that we can pick it up and have a discussion later on. But we don't ever need to quit sharing Jesus with people, because the need is critical and the need is very great. Without somebody to share, did you know that nobody ever comes to Christ without hearing the message of the gospel? Sometimes I hear people say, "Well, I witness with my life." And I'm glad you do. And it is a negative thing when people don't live what they preach, right? We need to live godly lives. But if we don't share the message, nobody will be saved. The message is critical. Paul said it this way, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile." I'm not ashamed of the gospel. So we need to continue to share the gospel. That need is greater today than it's ever been in our country. People need to hear the truth of the gospel. Many people have not heard the gospel, which seems kind of amazing with all of the television programs we have and the churches in various places. But there are people who've never heard. And I've come across those people as I've talked to people. And they said, "I've never heard this before." Isn't that amazing? Here in America, they never heard the gospel. We need to share. So critical. So the title of my message today is Keep Sharing Jesus. Keep Sharing Jesus. And let's read this scripture beginning in Acts 26 and verse 19. "So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Instead, I preached to those in Damascus first, and to those in Jerusalem and in all the region of Judea, and to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works worthy of repentance. For this reason, the Jews seized me in the temple and were trying to kill me. To this very day, I have had help from God, and I stand and I testify to both small and great, saying nothing other than what the prophets and Moses said would take place, that the Messiah would suffer, and that as the first to rise from the dead, he would proclaim light to our people and to the Gentiles. As he was saying these things in his defense, Festus exclaimed in a loud voice, "You're out of your mind, Paul. Too much study is driving you crazy." But Paul replied, "I'm not out of my mind, most excellent Festus. On the contrary, I'm speaking words of truth and good judgment. For the king knows about these matters, and I can speak boldly to him, for I am convinced that none of these things has escaped his notice, since this was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you believe." Agrippa said to Paul, "Are you going to persuade me to become a Christian so easily?" "I wish before God," Paul replied, "that whether easily or with difficulty, not only you, but all who listen to me today might become as I am, except for these chains." The king, the governor, Bernice, and those seated with them got up, and when they had left, they talked with each other and said, "This man is not doing anything to deserve death or imprisonment." Agrippa said to Festus, "This man could have been released if he had not appealed to Caesar." So keep sharing Jesus. When should you keep sharing Jesus? Keep sharing Jesus when others are speaking loudly. When others are speaking loudly. Verse 24, Festus exclaimed or said in a loud voice. This is the fear of many Christians, that if they will come across somebody who will yell at them or be belligerent with them. Well, that does happen from time to time. It's not too often. I think I could remember two times in all the years that I've shared Christ that I've gotten this response. One, I was about 19 years old, and I was doing a church survey, and we had knocked on the door, and we were asking this lady some questions about her spiritual life. And she was very friendly, very open. Her husband came to the door, and he began to just speak in a very loud, rude way. Said, "I don't want to hear it. I'm not going to listen to this." And he, boom, slammed the door. And we went our way. The second time, we were doing some door-to-door witnessing. This years later, my son happened to be with me at the time. And we had gone to this man's house, and he opened the door. We had actually gone down. We saw a day sleeper sign on his door, so we didn't knock or anything. We were just going to leave some literature and go. And so he opens the door as we're about to go, and he says, "Can I help you?" And we said, "Well," I said, "we're from South Clinton Baptist Church." And he said, "Well, you can just get back in your car, and you can just drive out of this driveway and go on your way. I don't believe in organized religion." Well, the smart aleck in me wanted to say, "Do you believe in disorganized religion?" But I didn't say that. But we got in our car and we left. And in both of those cases, we prayed for those two individuals. Did you know sometimes there's nothing else you can do? If someone is unwilling to hear, you can pray for them and ask that God would provide you another opportunity to talk with them. But Festus exclaims with a loud voice. So he has been pretty loud and belligerent and probably trying to be intimidating as he speaks, but Paul continues to share. He's not intimidated. I mean, when you've been Paul, you've been stoned and you have been beaten and you've been jailed for preaching the gospel, so a loud voice is probably not too big a deal for him. So he continues to share. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. We need to continue to share because people need Jesus. Now, I want to tell you something. Sometimes when people are speaking loudly, it's because they're in opposition. Maybe there's anger over something that happened to them beforehand in a church or somebody who called themselves a Christian, might not have been a genuine Christian, but who treated them wrong. And they've got these issues, and they're lashing out because they've got an issue from their past. Other times, people may just be passionate about their viewpoint. Paul himself was very passionate before he came to Christ about his viewpoint. Then there are those cases where people, when they speak with a loud voice, are speaking with a loud voice because they're under conviction. We had a case I remember seeing where this man was getting angry and was beginning to say, "That's not true, that's not true." I was watching this man witness, and come to find out later on, this man who was so angry and belligerent at these people ended up being saved just a couple of weeks later. He was under conviction. I had a friend who was street preaching in Dallas, and there was a man, another friend told me about this. There was a man standing right in front of his face as he was street preaching, cursing him with a loud voice. For one minute he was cursing him, and the next minute he fell to his knees, broken under conviction, and gave his heart to Christ. Sometimes that loud voice is a smokescreen because that person is under conviction. So how do you respond? You let the Holy Spirit lead you. In my friend is the street preacher. He kept right on preaching the gospel. He was preaching to a group, not just to that one individual. He kept right on preaching. And that man who was under conviction came to faith in Jesus Christ. Other times it might be wise to drop the conversation and let the Holy Spirit lead you with that. Drop the conversation and then come back at another time when heads are cooler. And saturate that in prayer. So, but don't quit sharing. That's the point, okay? Don't quit sharing even when people are speaking loudly. All right, so keep sharing Jesus. When should you do it? Do it when people are speaking loudly. Do it when people are accusing unfairly. When they're accusing unfairly. What does Festus say? "You're out of your mind, Paul. You're crazy. You've gone nuts. Too much study is driving you mad. Paul, you've gotten pointy-headed. You're not living in the common sense world anymore because of all your study. You've gone crazy. You've lost your mind." Paul didn't miss a beat. He said, he looks over at King Agrippa. He had the perfect person there. And he says, "Hey, I know King Agrippa is not unaware of these issues. This wasn't done in a corner. So King Agrippa knows of which I speak. I'm not speaking something that's crazy. This is what actually happened. I'm speaking words of soberness and words of truth here." And so Paul defends himself briefly with a brief reason. Oftentimes, if that doesn't work, there's no amount of defense that's going to work. And that person and their accusations, you just trust God with it. Did you know God can defend us? He sure can. We don't have to. I think it's wise to deny something that's untrue, because often people, if you don't deny it, they believe it's true. So you deny it, maybe you provide a brief defense, but let God defend you. But Paul does give a brief defense, but he keeps right on sharing. Why? Because it's not just Festus. There are others there that need to hear the gospel. I've been accused unfairly, but I don't really recall. Usually the accusations I've received when I have been witnessing have been something like, "Do you really believe that?" And basically the accusation is, "You're an idiot," right? "You're an idiot." A lot of people are scared to witness because they think somebody's going to call them an idiot. Well, they may. Most people don't. I think I've had maybe two or three over all the years I've shared Christ that have accused me in that way and tried to belittle me. But it is something that happens, to be accused unfairly. By the way, if you serve Jesus and you're doing good for Him, don't be surprised if you're accused unfairly by God's people. Sometimes that happens. But we continue on. We step out in faith. We continue to serve God. Why? Because the mission's too important. People need Jesus Christ. They need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christians sometimes have been accused of being unthinking or gullible. Have you ever heard that before? The irony of that is that many who hold a secular worldview are every bit as gullible and unthinking as some Christians have been. They accept what they have been told without ever thinking, could this possibly not be true? Did you know that most of the founders of the scientific disciplines were Christians? It's true. All you got to do is look at history. Christianity has improved thinking and has improved who establishes the universities. In most cases, it has been established by Christians. Universities, some of the famous universities in our country were established as schools for pastors. Harvard, Yale, many of these schools that have nothing to do with Christianity now, but they were founded by Christians. So be aware of that, and don't let these accusations, which are unfair, move you, but just respond and say, well, I don't believe that that's true. I believe I'm right on this, or I'm open to have a discussion. What do you think? What would you like to discuss about this? And why are you convinced of your position? Maybe if they're open enough for that kind of interchange, you kind of throw it back in their lap. Okay, why do you have issues? And you have a conversation with them. And perhaps that person may come to Christ. Or it may be a first step in their coming to Christ later on, and it may get them thinking about what is right. All right. So, but you keep sharing Jesus, all right? So keep sharing Jesus when others are speaking loudly, when they're accusing unfairly, when they're ignoring completely. Verses 26 and 27, the latter part of verse 26 says, Paul says, this was not done in the corner. In other words, a lot of people know about what's happened, not only what's happened, but what Christians are saying about what's happened. Okay? Verse 27, King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do. So he's appealing to Agrippa's knowledge of what happened, but he's also appealing to his knowledge of the prophets. And he says, I know you believe. And Paul is seeking to provide him evidence for his viewpoint. The evidence of prophetic fulfillment. And by the way, there's incredible evidence of the truth of the gospel and the truth of who Jesus is found in the prophets of Old Testament Scripture. I don't have time to get into all the particulars of it, but it is truly amazing. I encourage you, if you're interested in that, go to Josh McDowell has a book called Evidence That Demands a Verdict, and he goes through and talks about statistics and the probabilities of these things happening. It's truly a compelling evidence that is there for Christianity. But so Paul is trying to engage him and present him this evidence, but he ignores it. He doesn't say, oh yeah, well, what prophets are you talking about? Or give me some examples and, you know, let's talk about this. No, he doesn't do that. He just ignores it. Did you know sometimes when you try to present evidence to people for Jesus Christ, they're going to ignore it? They're not going to want to engage with you. Matter of fact, their mind may already be made up before the conversation ever starts. There's not a whole lot you can do. If they're ignoring you completely, they're disengaged, you can continue to pray for them. Well, he continues to share. He's gone from Festus, now he says to Agrippa, and he's going to talk about the people around them listening. the point is, Paul's got all of these different responses in one situation. Isn't that amazing? I had this happen to me last night with some of the little kids, okay? Of course, kids get excited. In Halloween, we had these really cool little lights with these fiber optics and everything. There were several of those kids, you know, I tried to share the story to. They weren't paying the lick of attention to me. They had their eye fixed on those those lights that we were passing out. Some of them were reaching, trying to grab them. They were ignoring me completely. All right? Listen, I want to tell you something. Some people will ignore. Some people will ignore, but they're really listening. So, you know, let the Holy Spirit lead you with this. But pray for these folks. Pray that God will begin to open their hearts to the gospel, give them an interest and a desire to hear the truth. It's amazing how circumstances can come into people's lives that can change completely what their attitude is towards the things of God. So trust God with that and continue to share with people. See, lost people are on a continuum. Some people are completely closed. They're the people who shut the door when you tell them you're from the church, okay? Then you've got others who may be slightly open. They say, okay, well, I'll talk to you for a second, but you can tell they'd rather be anywhere else than talking to you, right? Which is fine. But God moves people along this continuum, and then you get to the people who are open. But there's a process that goes, and the point is we need to love them wherever they are in the process. Love the people. That is so important. Don't get upset at them. Don't be mad at them. Don't tell them, the Holy Spirit might lead you to say, hey, you need to be careful. There's a hell to shun. The Holy Spirit may lead you to say that, but don't say it because you're mad. Okay, you're going to hell, buddy. You know, be patient and love these people because God wants to take them through a process and get them to the point where they're ready to trust in Jesus Christ. If they ignore you completely, don't take it personally. All right, so keep sharing Jesus. Keep sharing Jesus when they're speaking loudly, when they're accusing unfairly, when they're ignoring completely, when they're questioning dismissively. Agrippa says to Paul, are you going to persuade me to become a Christian so easily? You think in so short a time that you could make me a Christian. Some translations say, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. So whether you translate it as a statement, if it's translated as a statement, he's saying, well, I'm almost there, but I'm not there. But if you translate it as a question, he's saying, you really think that this short amount of time you're going to bring me to faith in Christ? He's just dismissing him. Really, you think you can do this with me? And he's just kind of blowing him off, okay? Have you ever been questioned dismissively? I've had people say things to me. All the specifics, I don't remember all the specifics, but I've had people say things to me like, I don't believe that's true. Well, you know, if they're open enough, you might say, well, why not? Let's talk about it. But in some cases, they're just not open. They're just dismissing you. End of conversation. I've got something else to do. I don't care about that. I don't believe the Bible. Okay. Now, you may be able to engage them. If they're open enough to have a conversation, you can ask them a question about why not and have a discussion. But some just aren't open, and they're just saying, nope, dismissed. So what do you do with that? Again, you pray for the people, right? Because those who are dismissing it, God can get their attention. God can show them his real. I remember when I was talking with somebody just a couple weeks ago, she had mentioned that she had questions about whether or not Christianity was true. And I told her, I said, well, I had questions too. When I grew up in church, I said there were some people who seemed like they were genuine, and there are other people who seemed like they were hypocrites. I had questions about it. Is this real? I had questions. You say, well, preacher, you shouldn't be saying that. Well, it's the honest truth, okay? Let me tell you something. When Jesus convicted my heart, I'll never forget it, I knew that Jesus was real. All the questions went out the window because I was confronted with the living God. When people dismiss you, don't say, well, this person's too hard to reach. No, they're not. Our God's able. Our God can get a hold of a person's heart. He can deal with them. Hey, Saul's a perfect example. Saul of Tarsus, right? The Paul we're talking about right here in this passage was bent on opposition to Christianity, but a light shone on the Damascus Road and his heart was changed. Don't you discount what God can do. Keep praying. Keep trusting. I had my neighbor in Texas. I'd try to witness to him. He'd say, "Well, let's be good neighbors, but let's not talk about that." Okay, that was his dismissiveness. Okay, but then God got a hold of his heart, and he ultimately came to Christ. And I remember hearing family members at his funeral saying he really gave his heart to Christ. I thought he would never come to Christ. I thought it was impossible for him to be saved. And they were shocked by it. And it was just a God thing. God got a hold of his heart. Nothing can explain it other than that. And so if people question you or dismiss you, don't lose faith in what God can do. I almost didn't go over there to talk to him that day. I had a headache. I didn't feel very good. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, go. And so I went. And I'm so glad I did. All right, so keep sharing Jesus. When should you do it? When they're speaking loudly, when they're accusing unfairly, when they're ignoring completely, when they're questioning dismissively, and I like this one, when they're hearing carefully. Look at what he says in verse 29. He says, "I wish before God," replied Paul, "that whether easily or with difficulty, not only you, but all who listen to me today might become as I am, except for these chains." All who listen to me today. There are some people who will hear you carefully. There's some people who will listen and be under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And they're ready to give their hearts and lives to Jesus Christ. And when that time comes, what a joy it is. And it's easy. God has prepared their hearts. And I remember when I was youth director in Euless, Texas for a while, some people in the church had asked us to come speak to them. This man was wanting to be saved. He said, "I want to know how to be saved." And so we went over there, and I was sharing with him, and I was getting ready. So I said, "You know, are you ready to give your heart to Christ? Would you like to do that now?" And before he could even answer, his little girl said, "What about me? What about me?" I said, have you heard all of this?" "Well, yes." And they were both saved. We baptized them both. But you see, they were ready. He was ready. He invited us to come. "I want to hear about Jesus." She was ready. "What about me? I'm ready to give my heart to Christ." Listen, there are people out there that are standing on ready. And if we never share the gospel with them, we'll never reach them. What a joy it is. There are these people around. We're not told who these people were. We know Bernice, who was Agrippa's wife, was there. But then we also know that there were some others who were coming to observe him. We don't know anything about them. Did you know sometimes you may share Christ with somebody who doesn't listen, and there's somebody else who's overhearing it, and God's dealing with them? You just don't know. Paul, in many places where he went, he would preach, and he came under great opposition. But in nearly every place, even in Athens, where he received such a he had a hard time there. The people were not very open. There were actually some people who believed, and there's a street named after one of them still today in Athens, Greece, one of the converts that Paul led to faith in Christ. And so even in a case like that where it's so difficult, there were some who gave their lives to Jesus. In America, I think we are shifting towards a more post-Christian culture in our country. which is a sad thing. I believe God can turn that around. People are generally not as open as some places in the world. I have several friends who are missionaries, and they've shared with me about how hungry people are, how they'll walk for miles one way to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is amazing what God is doing in some parts of the world, and people are coming to faith in droves. Listen, our responsibility is not whether we reach them or not. Our responsibility is to share. Okay? God's responsibility is to change hearts. God's responsibility is to draw people to Himself. We don't twist people's arms. We may give them another opportunity, but we don't twist their arms. We let God do the changing because only He can. And when that person is ready, they will give their life to Jesus Christ. Keep sharing Jesus and keep praying. Those people that you know in your life, maybe you've tried to share and there's not been an opening, keep praying for them. There's power in prayer. I'll never forget, we first put our prayer boxes out when I first came here to pray for lost people. Jeff Watson came up to me after a service one day, and he said, "Hey," he said, "2 weeks ago I put my dad's name in a prayer box. He's an atheist. He was an atheist." He said he was saved this week. He was saved this week. Here we are in another state praying for somebody. Listen, God doesn't need us. He doesn't. Okay, He chooses to use us, but He can save a soul. He has such great power. Trust Him. Keep praying for these people that you know that don't know Jesus, and there are no lost causes with Him. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, for the challenge that You've given us, Lord, to keep sharing the message of Jesus Christ with people who need to hear it. And Lord, we know that we can't save anybody, but we can share. And we can trust that You will do Your work as we share, and we can trust that You will do Your work as we pray. Help us to be faithful in this, Lord. And if there's someone here today that doesn't know Jesus Christ, I pray that today would be the day they would repent and put their trust in Jesus Christ.